MoCo and its open embedded base, and Sato and Pocky. And then I'm going to describe about some of the mistakes that we made when we first started writing portable applications, and so and now how we actually write them now, and then a little bit about actually how you go about building and deploying. But first, how many people have a consumer mobile embedded Linux device? Ah, good. And how many of you wish there was a feature you really want, you know, of some application that's not there? Okay. Right, well, you know, it's really, really easy to actually start writing these kind of applications. And although it might seem really difficult at first, the way I'm going to sort of describe how to do it will mean that you can start doing most of the work on your desktop and you don't have to stress out too much when you're doing it. So, Hilton. Hilton is the user interface toolkit that's used by Nokia on their 770 and N800 and NA10 devices. It's also considered it's going to be used on the Ubuntu mobile platform, but that's also based on Intel MID hardware, which is x86 based. Now, there's often a lot of confusion about the difference between the Hilton and the MIMO. MIMO is sort of the distribution and also the community and the branding and stuff, and Hilton's more of just the UI framework. So it's a relatively thin layer of a GTK. It used to be a little bit more difficult to use, a little bit more clunkier, but it's a lot easier to use nowadays. And originally it was based on a very heavily patched GTK 2.6, pre-Cairo, and all these other kind of things. But it's much easier to use now, because it's based on current GTK 2.10, and it's what you've got on your Ubuntu machine and all these kind of things. So what it is in terms of a user interface platform, is it's some extra widgets, like a color picker that's targeted for a small screen so that you can actually, rather than having a huge gradient box and you're going to try and click on this tiny little thing to get that color, oh no, that's not right, oh yeah, you know, you have some more of a palette or something slightly easier to use like that. File dialogues and other things like that. The cool thing about the Hilton UI is it's targeted for very high DPI screens and in the widescreen format. Although I have seen some screenshots of people using it on the desktop machines, and that's quite interesting. So MIMO itself is a Debian derivative, but also is the name of the community. Beyond the Hilton UI components, there are some components for interacting with the hardware, for things like doing the location, for interacting with the GPS, interacting with Bluetooth, these kind of useful things for making an application that can do what you want. There are loads and loads of really good tutorials on the MIMO.org website. They're really easy to follow. They take you right from the beginning of getting all the tools you need to build it, and then through the stages of, oh, I know, what does this bit of code do? Lots of examples, really, really well done. And, which is something that's obviously helped the conduit, is Python bindings, which is really, really interesting. So people can who may be a bit of afraid of developing in C, wussies, anyway, can actually use Python. All right, now OpenMoCo. Now, this is what the term refers to, the entire platform project magical thing. Now, I have with me a Neo 1973 OpenMoCo phone. Now, I have to leave the battery out because the power management isn't very good. And even if it's turned off, it doesn't actually turn it off. Now, hopefully we'll have the beautiful startup sound as well once I turn that on. So, it's derived from the OE Angstrom branch, which is a branch targeting... Well, so OE is short for Open Embedded, and it's a massive build system that can build for a usable distribution for your embedded device from everything from something you're going to use as a print server to something that you're going to use as a, I don't know, for a mobile device. Oh dear, that's not working. Oh well. And as well as the FIC Neo 1973 phone, OpenMoCo has also been deployed on a Dash Navigator, which is like a little GPS device. And that's using OpenMoCo as a full platform. So the OpenMoCo UI was rewritten by OpenTand. And it's very, very simple. It's just a set of a Matchbox theme, a GTK theme, and an icon theme to give a kind of consistent look. And to give a consistent feel, there's just a set of guidelines. And to give you a little example of what this sort of really means, is somewhere here I have tasks, which I'll introduce a little bit later, built for OpenMoCo with some cute little GTK notebooks. Now, if I'm feeling a little bit adventurous, I can set my GNOME theme to hopefully. Yep. Customize. I can have an OpenMoCo desktop. oh dear. Right, that's quite authentic. Right, so let's let's try that again. But anyway, look, beautiful. So you wouldn't know that was a notebook. You'd think that was some very really funky, built-in, cleverly done UI. But in fact, they're just GTK notebooks. Now I'll put myself back to a usable. So the OpenMoCo platform also contains some other cool components. So PhoneKit, which is an abstraction layer over GSMD and other things for interacting with your phone so that you can say, oh, send text message, answer calls, make calls. And another kitism, backend for PackageKit to do IPKG. And since IPKG has been unmaintained for since 2002.
Carl's fault. It's not my fault.
it's been forked now, and everyone's agreeing on following a consistent OPKG now. The unfortunate thing about the OpenMoCo community is that it's not quite got the same kind of development level as the MIMO community. So there's a lot of hype surrounding. A lot of people going, oh, yeah, no, this is awesome. This is amazing. Especially on the IRC channels, which Carl was on this morning. And so there's lots of, you know, there's kind of a lot of hype, but not very much in terms of real sort of tutorials or people trying to help each other and build serious applications. Although it hasn't been around for that long, so hopefully that'll improve in the future. So Sato and Pocky. Now, Sato is a UI reference implementation designed by OpenTans to help our customers who can want to then build their own user interfaces for their devices so they don't just start from scratch. It's mostly theming with some like custom widgets and including a really funky rotatable color palette, which I wrote, which has several rows in it. And if you rotate the screen, then the rows get aligned the other way correctly, so that it can be used on both vertical and horizontal displays. But Sato comes along with Pocky, and Pocky is a distribution and build system for sort of consumer embedded devices, targeting things like these phones, not targeting my network router or my print server or something like that. So. And it has a consistent buildable subset of Open Embedded. Now, one of the main problems with Open Embedded is that it can, if you know, you start hacking on something, and then oh no, something really obscure is broken, and then you know you wait for them to fix it, and then oh no, something else is broken because there are so many. It's trying to do so many things, and of course it's very good because it's trying to do lots of things, but unfortunately, things often break, and unless you're an expert, you'll have difficulty getting that working. So Pocky was the base for the Vernia LabQuest, which is a cool little device which is being used in schools to sort of provide what used to be done at my school on a BBC Model B, and sort of plotting cool graphs and things like that and data collection. But it comes in a little handheld unit. It's based on very similar hardware as a Sharp Zaurus. And So that's a really interesting sort of use of people who are using Linux, who we might never even knew they were using it because they're it's quite a niche market. Although having one school child, you know, there's quite a lot of school children around, so it would be quite useful. Pocky is starting to be used as a reference BSP by quite a few board vendors. They ship this to their clients who buy their boards, so they can start then building their application on top of them. Board support package. It provides you with a kernel, a user land, and some tools to help you include your own application. So we have these we have quite a few applications called like contacts, dates, and tasks, which are all PIM suite applications from as part of the Pimlico project. And well, the first time our artist produced us our artwork, it came back as Pimplico. Thank you, Andreas. When we first did it, we had this program, which tasks, and here it is on the desktop. And you're like, yeah, excellent. And when we first started to produce applications, we would just, you know, if def OpenMoko do this, if def Hilden do this, and then you're like, oh no, and then it's like, oh, that doesn't work, oh, and it's like, you know, code's kind of like, your top of your int main is like, you know, three different blocks of 10 lines for all the different variables you're declaring, and it's like completely unmaintainable. So instead, we come up with a strategy of plan for portability early, but port late. So do as much as the development as you can on your desktop and with plain GTK, because you have useful tools like Valgrind. Valgrind isn't available on ARM. Well, there are some old patches lying around and they don't work anymore. But and there are other cool features like the build test cycle is so fast. It doesn't work. Whereas if you're trying to deploy in something, you know, you've got to deploy it to my device. Oh no, seg fault, right? What was going on? You know, it's much, much easier to do things locally. So, as I said, an example, tasks. The reference implementation was developed for just simple GTK, and we also have SATA, OpenMoko, and Hilton ports. It uses Evolution Data Server and a Dbus port of that, so that it doesn't use Corba. And it's split into sort of two sort of halves. Libcoto, which is a shared library for the individual, just for tasks, although it's since been copied into the home application on the OpenMoko. And it has some abstract objects like Koto Task, Koto Group, Koto Task Store. All our projects have an internal Japanese code name, if you were wondering. And some concrete widgets, and some interesting kerning problem there. Which are actually GTK widgets and subclasses, Koto Group Convoy and Koto Task View. And what this means is, oh, I want to build an OpenMoko version, I can just glue these components together. It's very object-orientated, subclassing, encapsulation, lovely. The other interesting thing is how to set up all your AutoTool magic to do the... it's quite hard, so I just copy and paste this one every time. Ross wrote it, so it must be right. So for Hilden, there's just a few customizations, really. The Hilden program, which interacts with, which does some clever stuff to do with interacting with the window manager, and then Hilden window. Now this is a GTK window subclass. So if you're just adding your classes in, so if you're just packing widgets, it just works perfectly like you would normally. But it has a clever feature allowing you to do a window. So if you the menu on your N800 is actually up here, and that's actually drawn by the window manager. So but the window is presented by the window for the menu is presented by the application. So it provides the infrastructure for doing that. But on the OpenMoko, as I said, the styling things by using the GTK notebook and putting the tabs at the bottom. And there's also another cool widget, which is a finger scrolling widget, which Chris wrote, which is kind of like what you get on the iPhone, where you can have some kinetic feedback. But the port for the OpenMoko tasks is 400 lines long, including the GPL header. So, Scratchbox, Zephyr, and such like. So, here is Scratchbox, which is a very clever cross-compilation and cross-running tool that allows me to build my binaries for ARM, run them on my x86 desktop, and show what it's going to look like effectively in Zephyr, which is X server on X server, based on K drive. So just to prove that how magic this works, if I run file on the binary, LSB is given ARM. Excellent. So this means that you can actually do your development pretty quickly in for Hilden. After all, I've got a terminal here. And so you can do your... So that's quite easy compared with a lot of things. Because of the wait for deployment, just Debian packaging, a rules file, some dot install files, the tutorials take you through how to do them very clearly, which is very great. For OpenMoco, it's based on Open Embedded, so you need bitbake recipes. Now, these are like Debian rules files, except that they also describe how to go and fetch the tarball or the SVN repository, apply some patches, configure it, and come up with some result. You can, in theory, do separate building and create an iPackage, but it's quite fiddly. So in general, what you want to do is actually get a full OpenMoco tree and then add a bitbake recipe for your software. The only problem is a full OpenMoco tree, when built, is around 7 gigabytes. And it takes a long, long time to build. It's a bit unfortunate. With testing, you can do it under QEMU. So I'm just going to show you a quick demo of QEMU. But this time, unfortunately, I couldn't get the OpenMoco one to work. So I'm going to use one which we use for emulating Pocky and Sato. Oh, whoops. Wait for this to boot. Oh dear, oh dear. That's not good. If I buns it to. Unsurprisingly, it can't load in a compressed ext2 file system. So, whilst we're looking at that, let me conclude. So, portable design isn't too hard. If you think about how to construct your application from the beginning, separate off common functionality that's going to be used by all your different ports into a little shared library. And when I first started hacking on, I mean, I've only been doing this stuff for a year now. And when I first thought, oh gosh, shared libraries, auto tool, oh dear. Actually, it's really easy when you know a good one to copy. And so it's actually not that hard to create a little shared library and have it link in. The amazing benefit for me is to do all my development on desktop, because the tools are so much easier to use. If you design your application in a sort of portable way with having the shared library, and say you've got one of these, but you don't have one of these, but if you design like that, someone who has one of these but not one of these can port your application over and help build a community around your application. So, hopefully, maybe my QEMU will have started. Ooh. I don't know where it's gone. Oh dear, no. Oh well, we'll have to abandon that. Okay, but thank you very much. And it's coming up to morning break, but I'm sure there's time for a few questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. So there's so one thing I actually failed to mention, which is in theory you can get a cross GCC, which I might demo a cool feature that I've been working on in a lightning talk later today using a cross GCC with the tool that's coming into the new GNOME Dev Suite package later on today. And so you can actually build a cross-compiled binary very quickly and very easily, and just copy that over to your device, provided you don't have too many other related dependencies. Pass. You can play with this one. I'll be around at lunch at coffee, provided I can get this to boot, and you can have a look and have a play. I've got another one somewhere as well.
Can you say a little bit about the evolution of Hilden? I mean, the channel's substantially over the last few years.
Sorry, I didn't quite hear that.
Hilden.
It has changed significantly over the last few years. But in part, that was to do with GTK not having all the features that is useful. Now, a lot of those features have actually landed into GTK. And as with any piece of software, over time, it's always sort of stepwise evolution of, you know, you learn from that mistake. Okay, we'll do this now, do this. So, yeah, unfortunately, that means that that it's very much harder to have a piece of software that will work ported both on the 770 using the legacy OS 2006 and also on the current OS 2008, which means that I no longer support dates and tasks and stuff on the 770, unfortunately. Yeah, it's frustrating. Okay.
Well,
thank you very much.
So we're now breaking for morning tea, but immediately after morning tea, we have Lindsay Homewood talking about GNOME deployment and managing GNOME on large deployments. David Zoyton talking about PolicyKit. Then we have Andrew Cowie talking about Akinati, correct? You're still double booked. Maybe we can all invite them in here. Well, there's a slot immediately after that that you can take if you want. Oh, okay. There's a slot immediately after there's a slot. We'll work something out. Okay. So, morning tea. Thank you very much. Come back after morning tea.